Bring House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the date is Wednesday, February 1st, 2006. Time is 3:22 p.m. We do have a quorum, members present, Representative Roekberg, Guttenberg, myself, Chairman Anderson, Representative Cott, Lynn, and Crawford. Today's schedule, we have House Bill 242, Unemployment Insurance Fund and Taxes. Then we'll wrap up Representative Hawker's HB 274 on Public Accountants, and then finish with HB 331, Underage Military on Licensed Premises. So if we could have a representative for HB 242 come up first. That looks like it's Representative Crawford. You don't have to sit there. You can just stay there. It's easier. And that was the one I think we've already heard and talked about, and I presume you're coming back. Why don't you update us on that status?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We had come up with a with an amendment for a change in the language that I believe that we had run by all the interested parties. It's on page 2, section or work draft Y. It's lines 1 through 3, and it states, for the purposes of this section, a change in ownership, management, or control means a change of person, entity, or responsible party required by law to pay unemployment insurance contributions. So that pretty well takes it away from, you know, the night manager at the Burger Bar or whatever. It goes to the person that's the actual responsible party.
Okay, Representative Crawford, what I'm going to first ask, and thank you for the introduction on the amendment, does everyone have on the committee work draft Y?
Yeah.
Is in yellow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to have to adopt that. Representative Guttenberg, you have that? Everyone has that? Okay, good. So I'll make the motion that we adopt for discussion purposes version Y of House Bill 242. Seeing and hearing no objection, that's before us. If you don't mind, one more time, you gave a good iteration of it, but one more time, reiterate it just so we know, because I think three folks were not clear, and Representative Ledoux has joined us, so we have a full committee. So on page, can you state the page it's on?
This on the top of page 2.
Okay.
Lines 1 through 3.
Gotcha.
It's, section B there.
Okay.
And it what it does is it defines a little further what a change in ownership, management, or control means, that it's the responsible party that has to mean that it's responsible for paying the unemployment insurance.
Okay. And Pat, is Pat here? I see. Oh, good. Oh, I didn't see you. I saw your name here. But do you want to come up real quick and just identify that the department is acknowledging the amendment and supports it or doesn't?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you again for the opportunity to speak about this important bill. Thank you, Representative Crawford, for bringing it forward. The amendment that you see on the top of page 2, noted as subsection B, does narrow and better define for the benefit of the public who we are seeking to establish as the responsible party. It's language that we've used in other sections of statute that's been effective for decades. And I'd entertain any questions if there were any.
Are there any questions for Mr. Shire? Representative Roekberg.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Shire, and just reiterating more or less and confirming what Representative Crawford said, and for the record, this would mean that only those people that are in a management position to have responsibility for, say, signing checks or seeing to it that the payments are made would have to be reported to your department when there was any change of management ownership and so forth?
Through the chair, Representative.
Not just operational type management changes?
Through the chair, Representative Roekberg, indeed. That's correct. It would be those individuals that have a fiduciary financial responsibility to carry out that part of the business.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to get that on the record, and yeah, it's very important. I want to thank the department for working with the committee on clarifying that.
Great. Okay, Representative Guttenberg?
No, I'll pass. I was going to
pass. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Shire? Okay, we know what the version Y has with the amendment, and Representative Crawford and his staff have worked diligently on that. Are there any other amendments that the committee would like to make to version Y? Is there any other testimony or individuals? I can open public testimony again if there's any concern or question. Seeing, hearing none, then public testimony remains closed. Amendments have been offered, have been solicited and not offered, so we'll go to then a motion. Do you have a question, Representative Pratt?
Mr. Chairman, at the last hearing, I think I brought up an issue, and I don't know if Representative Crawford had an opportunity. I had myself, and it was related to the ex post facto law. Were you able to check into that? This was establishing, we were retroactively making this effective January, I believe, 06, right, in this particular section. And if this bill were to be passed, signed into law sometime, anytime now, we're retroactively going back and classifying this person as a felon. I'm just wondering if there was any discussion, if you had any discussion with the Department of Law. This comes to us next, Mr. Chairman, I believe in judiciary, I hope. I certainly can address it there, but...
I don't see an immediate effective date, Pete. I don't
know. Representative Rothberg states for the record that it has an immediate effective date.
And then and portions of it, and then July 1st. Unless I'm missing
something. I think, based on the department's assessment, this is what we need with respect to sections 5 and 6. I think they would have to be immediate. 1, 2, and 4.
Well, they're immediate, okay. But not retrospective.
No. And I don't think they're retroactive. Okay, any other questions? None? Then if I could have a motion other than by the sponsor.
So I'll move.
Okay. Representative Guttenberg?
Move CSR House Bill 242, version 24-LS0821/Y.
Individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes. I don't know if there are any fiscal notes. Did we have any? Multiple or just one?
Just one.
Just one, okay. Seeing, hearing, no objection, so moved. On to, I guess it's House Judiciary. Let me make sure on that. Maybe we can have that.
Mr. Chairman, I understand it should be a negative fiscal note for the federal government will stop calling the Department of Labor.
Okay. With that notation added to it, I don't see what committee goes to next, but it's moved.
Judiciary.
Is it? Okay, good. So moved. Next before us is Representative Hawker's Public Accountants Bill, House Bill 274. And I think we're in the same boat with his legislation as Crawford's, that we wanted to bring it back after some analysis, and he wanted to talk to some committee members. So if you could give us an update and see if there's any amendments from the committee, we'll get your bill out of the committee, too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the opportunity to be before the committee again. For the record, Representative Mike Hawker, District 32, Anchorage. We went back, reviewed all the issues that were discussed here. Made a determination. We have an amendment that we would like the committee to bring forward that addresses the prepared compiled issue. This amendment leaves intact all existing statutory authority, but it adds as an option, and emphasize as an option, some very specific safe harbor language that any independent accountant could seek refuge in. So I want to emphasize we have restored absolutely intact the previous language that was raised at issue and simply provide an additional option.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. So first I will get to any questions from the committee in respect to what Representative Hawker has changed in the legislation in response to committee concerns. Representative Hawker.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just for identification's sake, this is the provisions on this amendment, page 27, lines 9 through 20, where it deletes the section and reinserts the section.
Okay, so then I'll refer to the committee.
Does everyone have a... amendment number one, and I'd move amendment number one, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so it'll be amendment number one. Does everyone have that? They should in their packet. And don't shake your head till you look. Josh is pretty perfect on giving it. Every once in a while someone says they don't have it, but it's not from our lack of giving it to you. So does everyone have a copy of the amendment? I assume you do, without responding. So pages 27, line 9 to 20, and Representative Roper just commented where those are affected. And you can see it's a one-page amendment. Representative Hawker has endorsed this. Representative Roperg has moved it. Is there any objection? Seeing, hearing none, that amendment is moved and adopted. Are there any other amendments to House Bill 274?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lynn.
Mr. Chair, I have an amendment. You should have a copy of it. It's the amendment SSHB 274, Section 7, Page 3, Line 24. And it will be after the regulations in that part. You would add the language, per the procedures on a negotiated regulation making. And I would move that amendment.
And that you'll move it as amendment number 2. Does everyone have a copy of this? It looks like this, and it's the bolded and underlined sentence or partial sentence that's being changed. If everyone has that, okay. I'll object for discussion purposes. Do you want to maybe read for the record, if, I guess, the rationale? Or?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I have some rationale here. I have talked to some people about this. It appears to me to be appropriate. Basically, the Department of Public Accountancy doesn't license independent accountants, but the decisions they make do, in fact, have a significant impact on the professions of these folks. I have some people in the audience here, I believe, who would like to speak to that, who are probably more qualified to speak to the issue than I am. But my whole thought is to keep the balance between the CPAs and independent accountants. Both people need work, and both are valuable.
Okay. Well, then what I'll do in order, I will have anyone from the public or on teleconference to testify, and then we'll bring Representative Hawker back. But actually, would you prefer to comment first and then listen to the rationale for the amendment, then have the final, since you're the sponsor? Why don't we do that? You can respond to the amendment, whether you, as the sponsor of House Bill 274, object or support it. Then we'll have public testimony in support or not of the amendment. Then you can have the final wrap-up, and if Representative Lynn has any comments to make of the amendment.
Thank you very kindly, Mr. Chairman. This amendment adds the requirement of additional supplemental regulatory procedures in the regulatory authority for the board to deal with what we call the attest function, which is basically rules about auditing. Since it is only attest functioning, since it's only the attest function that's being regulated here, the regulations are being promulgated around, that has absolutely by definition no effect on the independent accountant's profession. I mean, attest function is exactly the line that is drawn between the independents and the public accountants. Specifically in that we very carefully crafted this bill, as I believe Representative Roper recognized in our previous hearing, where we have a early and immediate implementation date of the regulation, the authority to prepare the regulations, but a delayed effective date of the actual legislation, so that there's an opportunity for the regulatory process to go forward. And have any regulations that are brought forward that might be proposed addressed by the public, by the legislature, potentially before the legislature came into being. So that with all respect, and even I think you'll hear that the negotiated regulation making is really, it's a supplemental procedure. And in this instance, particularly in that we're regulating something that has nothing to do with independent accountants, it is my opinion that we're really just looking at something that is an additional regulatory burden, additional cost, additional money, additional time, and additional inefficiency in governing. I certainly would invite the committee to make up its own mind on the direction of policy direction they'd like to take the state.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hawker. And also, I know that a letter was sent to our committee January 26, 2006, and I'm told it's not in the letter, but that the spirit of the letter was assuming that your amendment passed, Representative Roper's amendment passed, number one, but that in the letter it states that the Alaska Board of Public Accountancy Chairperson Max Mertz, under the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, supports through a resolution unanimously your sponsor's substitute House Bill 274 with the amendment that was just adopted. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chair, yes, sir. That Board of Accountancy meeting was being conducted the end of the prior week here, and yes, I am in possession of a copy of that letter, and I very much concur that the board has endorsed this legislation.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Ledoux.
Could somebody explain to me what it means per the procedures under negotiated regulation making?
Okay, that's a good question from Representative Ledoux. And what I'd like to do is, since Representative Hawker's commented on the amendment, my presumption is Representative Lynn wants to defer to one of the interested parties from Asia.
We just kind of work every day.
Okay, great. So we'll get you in order here. I thought that gentleman actually wanted to testify. Okay, so do I have a...
Don't everybody rock up.
Michael Kernow. I see Representative James in the audience. I don't know if she wants to testify. I have Don Bremer. It looks like he is in Juneau right now, and he wants to testify. And then I have Bernadette... I mispronounced her last name. Copy. So, speak up, someone. Is Don in the audience? Okay, Don, do you want to testify first?
I'm sure there's a lot more qualified people here sitting in the audience, but I might add a little more realistic twist to it.
Good. Okay. And I'm passing out for the record Mr. Bremner's testimony. And go ahead. Why don't you state your name and affiliation for the record, and then thoughts on this amendment and the bill, and then we'll get to Jeanette and kind of go through. And if you can't answer Representative Ledoux's question directly, my bad for calling you up first, but you can just go ahead and give us your thoughts.
Yeah, you probably have to talk to one of these guys back here. But like I said, my name is Don Bremner. I was born and raised in Yakutat. I'm a board of director of the Yakutat Kwan Corporation, which is a native village corporation formed under ANCSCA of 1971. And after reading this 28-page bill, kind of overwhelming at first, but you know, when you get to the bottom of it, you almost say, wow, it's been a long time coming to have this kind of bill presented on our behalf. And I list a couple of reasons there, because it draws a clear line between qualified and unqualified accountants and accounting services. The bill addresses accountability and liability. And as a Native corporation, former Native corporation officer, we didn't always have that. You'll see from past experience, when Native corporations were formed, we had a lot of money. There was every sort of scheme and scam that you could imagine brought to us. And since 1971, we didn't have the education and the qualifications to filter these scams. And you'll see, I talk about this Ponzi scheme. $7 million, and I know that's just one Native corporation. So a lot of people just look the other way. So what this bill does is at least raise the bar, raise the standards, so that at least when we know that an accountant or CPA comes to us and say, this is who I am, this is who they really will be. And that hasn't happened in the past, because nobody was there for us. Nobody was saying, hey, don't look the other way. That's not right. That's not right. So that's what we see this bill doing. And I just want to close by saying it speaks well for the accounting profession to want this. And I understand they want this. And it's going to be good for the business, and it's going to be good for the folks that don't have the people to filter the good guys and the bad guys in this profession. So I hope you move this forward, and thank you.
I appreciate it, Don. My question will just be real quick with respect to the delineation. There's an amendment before us, Amendment 2, Representative Lynn has moved, and he's basically trying to discern some of the interpretation or definition between CPA and non-CPA. Do you have any comment on that, or are you speaking more in a broad
macro sense? I think that's needed. I mean, like, that was part of the problem with folks coming with real nice business suits and fancy ID cards and real smooth talkers, and you can't tell the difference between them unless somebody says, and I think it's up to the state to say, hey, here's the line you draw between these guys.
So you support the Representative Hawker's bill with the Roeperg Amendment as is?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, thank you, Don. Jeanette, do you want to come up?
I didn't come to town to do this today, but here I am.
I understand. Okay. I saw your smiley face. We know you, but you know how we have to have you state your name. And
right, Jeanette James, and do I have to tell you where I'm from? But anyway, that's
please.
My name.
Heard
from North Pole, by the way. And I am a member of Asia, and I believe there are some Asia members on the line. I don't know whether they're a testimony or not. The concern from them, let me just explain, because I understand the whole debate here. And let me just explain where the independent accountants come from on this issue. You know that nationally, every state has different rules for people. And actually, Alaska is the most generous that I'm aware of, from I've been exposed to. And they want to protect what they have because they are operating with good businesses over the long term and providing a service to the general public. So, not mine, I hope.
Jeanette's phone. She's testifying.
Anyway, having said that, here's some of the language that is bothering, I believe. And it's in this. Shut up.
Yeah. You can keep talking. As long as
it's not bothering you,
we can hear you.
Okay. Here's at the end of this is it says that the board may adopt the criteria established by a nationally recognized professional organization for accountants. That doesn't say for CPAs. It doesn't say what that is for. And we don't know what those organizations are out there and what it might do to suck in independent accountants. That's one of the problems. The negotiated regulation making is a more complicated system that allows you to discuss the issues before the regulations are drafted. Our current regulation system, you do them, you take testimony, and then they're done. And they may or may not listen to the testimony or whatever. So that's problematic in some ways. And so that's bothersome to these folks. Now, I understand that in talking to Representative Hawker that this is strictly for certified public accountants. And it might be kind of nice to put that on the record, which is what I'm doing.
And I'm going to interrupt you, Representative James. So you're saying not just the amendment, you're saying this legislation is to add further, I don't know if you want to say continuity or clarity for a certified public accountant.
Right.
And the very reason that Asia's testified and there's the fear that you had by teleconference last week and there's an amendment is because you want to make sure that
what they're doing here is not affecting. And the other amendment that was made by Mr. Hawker then does say that. It went back to what we had before and changed the language to allow compiled in there. So that takes care of that part. This part still makes them nervous simply because of a nationally recognized professional organization for accountants doesn't say what that might do to independent accountants. Okay. We don't know what those regulations are, but I think it's important to put this on the record because
yes,
records do count later on when you have this dispute.
I see now where you're coming from. Representative Ledoux has a question to you.
Yes. What I was wondering is if these are regulations, let me look at, where are we at?
Page 3, line 24.
I'm wondering if we could make everybody happy by simply putting down under AS080, this is line 23, under AS0804080, the board shall adopt regulations with respect to certified public accountants, and then continue. Taking out the language in the amendment and substituting, instead with respect to certified public accountants.
My response to that, that's extra language in there. I think putting it on the record that that's what it's for has some strength. I know that as in a good example, when we had our constitutional convention and the minutes weren't done for quite some time,
yeah.
We were questioning what the Constitution said. And then when you went through the committee, and found out what they meant is exactly on those things, then now we had a legal position that what we had assumed it said isn't what it said. And I think that's by putting this on the record that this is only to affect certified public accountants, I think we've covered that. I would yield to anyone who is in a legal profession, which I'm not, as to whether or not that has any substance.
Okay, well, I'm going to go in line.
Point.
Okay, and then Representative Roperig.
Mr. Chairman, I believe during the sponsor's opening remarks, he indicated that this particular bill only regulated CPAs. So if I recall correctly, I think that was very clear in Representative Hawker's opening remarks. So I think we're covered. Your issue.
If we're getting in our points, I feel the same way. I respect the maker of the amendment, and I know he's been working with you. I err on the side of Representative Hawker, the sponsor, because he's clarified that he doesn't believe in any way it affects it. And I assume he's talked to legal counsel. But Representative Roper,
Mr. Chairman,
after I'm done with my editorial.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is the Title VIII occupational licensing bill we have before us. in the purpose section, if you'll find it, section 2, and in the statute now, I'm sure, gives the board the ability to regulate the profession of accountancy. So the question, I mean, I appreciate what Representative James says about indicating this is specific to certified public accountants. I don't think that's entirely true, because part of an occupational licensing procedure is to make sure the people practicing are qualified and meet their standards. Therefore, I would agree that it does have impact on people that are not certified public accountants, but that's the nature of the beast right now. So I think you have to maintain that clarity and that ability of the board to regulate their industry. Now, that's another intellectual argument about if, in fact, the other non-CPA accounting people should be regulated either by their own board or have some other form of regulation, which apparently they do not now. So I think we'd be on very thin ice here if we tried to redraft that line and exclude, for example, even the title of accountancy. You'll see in page 2, subsection 4 on line 13, use of titles relating to the practice of public accounting is likely to mislead the public, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, these are all part and parcel to what this occupational licensing statute is intended to do. So we need to take a little care in that. But we are blessed with something. We have the, dare I say, queen of negotiated regulation here on the witness stand. And it's actually a wonderful bit of legislation that Representative James introduced and it got through after a rather lengthy debate here in the legislature a few years back, and I think it's a very, very good mechanism of rulemaking. However, this goes back to Representative Ledoux's question, and what is negotiated rulemaking, and is this applicable to this type of a thing? I mean, I defer to you, Representative James, but might be appropriate for a little discussion here as we have the amendment before us, and she's the perfect person to explain it to us.
Negotiated rulemaking simply says that you call the stakeholders together to determine what the language and the regulation ought to say, which meets all their concern. And then when that is done, then it goes through the regular process of regulation making. It's just a first step that brings the people into the language that's going to be done and then goes through it the regular process after. It's a little more lengthy, but there's usually no debate that comes back to haunt you after it's over. That's what it is. So in this particular case, what they would say is, okay, you're writing these regulations and we want to be sure that you don't get scooped in here. What would you like to have in there? Is you have some language? Is something they could understand or something like that? Then they go ahead, they put that in there, and then they go ahead and do that on their own like the same situation was. That's all it is all about. It's to talk to them ahead of time.
Yeah, it works very well, Mr. Chairman, in natural resources type rulemaking, particularly when you have a large number of disparate stakeholders. But I'm not so sure that's the case in this instance. You have a licensed board that's already recognized under law. So, but I can appreciate the other folks wanting a seat at the table. So.
Sure. Representative Ledoux? Lady in red?
Well, I guess I'm really confused now, because I remember Representative Hawker saying that this bill only applied, I thought, to CPAs, but then Representative Roachberg points out all of the language in this statute, which actually does regulate any sort of an accountant. And I still don't understand why, if you want to make sure that these regulations regarding attest functions only apply to CPAs, why you wouldn't simply put that why it wouldn't be stronger to actually put that into the statute rather than, you know, testimony before this committee.
Is that just an observation, or do you want Representative James to respond?
I think that's really more of an observation, yeah. But if Representative James cares to respond, that would be great, too.
In other words, and I think I know what you're getting at,
We have an occupational licensing boards and commissions. We have many different boards, commissions, professions that are regulated in Alaska. Representative Hawker has legislation that he feels fine-tuning it. But when you say it, you mean he's targeting certified public accountants. You are not a certified public accountant, but you are an accountant in the sense of you do accounting and numbers, and we can, again, delineate if you compile or if you equate in the different vernacular that we talked about last week. All that being said, maybe the better question is just in a general sense, what's regulated now? Are you regulated if you mess up and attest to something that, like, here's your taxes, I've prepared your taxes, I'm not a CPA, or I'm a bookkeeper and I put together all your numbers? How would someone grieve to the state over your actions versus, let's say, Representative Hawker's when he was a CPA?
There is a court system, and you wouldn't have much standing if you screwed up. I think that those people that are out there are the public are protected somewhat from them making mistakes, but they are certified as to know the knowledge of accounting. They just don't have all the dots and so forth it takes them to be a CPA, and maybe they don't even want to be one. So I'm comfortable personally. Let's just talk about my personal thing. I'm comfortable personally with this conversation that we're having on the record that indicates that this is simply for certified public accountants. It has absolutely no effect on the independent accountants that have been involved. I'm comfortable with that. I'm sure that some of the other accountants who do more of this kind of work than I do may not be so comfortable. And if there was words that make me uncomfortable, it is saying that they can go and adopt the criteria established by a nationally recognized professional organization of accountants, because the independent accountants have a professional organization as well. And so that doesn't say that it's for certified public accountants. And you know, in Washington State, you can't be an accountant unless you're a CPA. You just can't be. And my business that I had in Washington, I didn't say I was one. I just said I was a bookkeeper. That's all I could be. And so that makes people nervous when this is their livelihood here in the state of Alaska. And the state of Alaska is more generous in this respect, and I think needs to be because of the kind of folks that we have here and the kind of occupations that we need to have.
And I don't think anyone disagrees with that. It's just about what Representative Roeperich said, which is the bill in its current state with the amendment that we passed that he moved today, is it sufficient, and is it accurate that it doesn't affect, as Representative Hawker stated for the record, or will it adversely affect the folks that aren't CPAs but, you know, that do accounting, that in Washington vernacular is bookkeeping, here it's accounting but not CPA. And so, you know, I'm not sure either. I hear to Representative Hawker.
I clarify Section 7 here, which is adding a new section in law. It indicates in the title and in every sentence, this has only to do with rulemaking as it relates to its test functions. This has nothing to do with the overall rulemaking ability, which is in the catch-all portion of Title 8, which allows any regulatory rulemaking by any occupational licensing board. So all this does is talk about a test functions. This is not a way to allow the county board to go in and redraw the rules. They already exist. They have authority to promulgate regulations under the Standard Regulatory Administrative Procedures Act currently. And this section here is only about the attest function.
So, Representative Roper, then, with your interpretation of Amendment 2 by Representative Lynn, do you think that this is in opposition to the bill, or do you think it's duplicative and it goes without saying and isn't necessary?
Well, I don't think it's appropriate in this section. You know, if you wanted to have another section and say that any rulemaking by that board should be under the negotiated rulemaking scenario. I mean, but that would be kind of breaking the mold of all the other occupational licensing. So I'm not sure
that would be precedential.
A question.
Okay, Representative Lynn.
Would Representative James be more comfortable with the amendment as it's written, or changing it to reflect Representative Ledoux's suggestion? If you had your daughters, which would you rather have, or neither of the above?
Do you still support Amendment 2 as written? Do you think it needs to be withdrawn, or do you like its current verbiage, or would you prefer to work quickly with Representative Ledoux? We can take in at ease, or I don't want to take too long on it, but just to...
Yeah. I don't want to be,
you
know,
support either way.
In respect to Representative Hawker, I don't want to take all afternoon and evening on this issue because it's. I think it's it has a conclusion that I think feel comfortable with by putting it on the record, but I'm not the only one that I'm representing here, so I don't want to be leaving them out either. I wish that it just said in this place that the regulations would be for recognized published professional organization of certified public accountants, as opposed to just accountants, because I know from other states that they just suck them in, and they're not allowed to operate. And so, by not saying that there may be another organized, recognized professional organization of accountants that doesn't allow, in wherever that is from, for people to be independent accountants. So I'm a little nervous about that. Having put it on the record and having Representative Hawker say that it's his piece of legislation and it doesn't affect anyone except certified public accountants in Alaska, then I'm comfortable with that, and I'm comfortable with putting it on the record so that would be proof in a case of law that this was what it was.
And that's
intended.
Unamended.
Okay. I'm willing to do that.
Sure. Representative Lynn. And you understand she's saying let the other folks from Asia speak, then we'll close public testimony.
Right. And I do. There's another person in the audience, Mr. Ewer Morgan, I believe, would like to speak. I don't know if he's down on your paper there or not.
Yep, I think he was. We'll look here. He's welcome to come, even if he's not done. No? Okay, he says at this point he's okay. Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeanette.
Yes.
I said, how would you define person professing special competence accounting?
You pass a test and you get, and fact is, if you belong to the National Society of Accountants, you can pass an examination to be certified as an accountant. Now, you're not a certified public accountant because that's a licensing from the state. And that's they have different rules. But you can still be a qualified accountant by passing the examinations and using your experience in this organization. So it's a debate, a very valid debate. There are a lot of people who have been CPAs who don't continue to be CPAs, and they're still doing accounting. It's a questionable thing. In Alaska, I think the proper system that we have now is good for Alaska. I can't speak for other states. And so for them getting a national, that's the part that makes me nervous, the nationally recognized professional organization for accountants treats all states the same. And we don't know, I haven't read their organization. I'm just trusting that if we put this on the record that it doesn't affect us, I'm comfortable. But that's.
Mr. Chairman, the reason for the line of questioning is in Section 2, in the purpose section, it says that the purpose of this is to regulate those that have the special competence in accounting. And I would associate that with probably a CPA who, if I understand things correctly, there's three different layers of general work that CPA can do. As a public accountant, you can't penetrate those top two layers. At least that's kind of my understanding, but maybe I'm missing a little bit.
Well, I don't have such a certificate, but Bernadette Coppi does, and a number of the others in interior and exterior accountants in Fairbanks do. With NS, they've passed all the muster, taken all the exams, and have the certification.
Well, this
not
is
a certified public accountant licensed in the state. It's just that qualification, establishing their qualifications.
I think this is a good segue then, so we can wrap it up here. I think we've been more than deliberative in it. Why don't we go? Okay, Representative Ledoux.
So, can anybody call themselves an accountant in this state?
Yes. People even work places and they're an accountant. And
could I call myself an accountant? I don't know anything about bookkeeping or
anything
like that.
I suppose you might get in trouble for doing that. But
who would I get in trouble with?
Whoever depended upon you and you didn't do the job right.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Any further questions, Accountant Ledoux? Representative.
No, have you seen that television ad where the guy is talking on the phone to the doctor, and the doctor says, put this knife between your third and fourth rib? This is kind of reminding me of that discussion right now.
Okay, what we're going to do, and I agree. Has Michael Kernow, are you online? Mike Kernow?
Yes, I am.
Okay, have you testified before?
No.
No, okay. Then I will afford you the chance, I've reopened public testimony to testify, which is not typical on an amendment. I've kind of given some latitude because Ms. James is a former representative and she's flown here partly to talk about this, I hope. And so that being said, you can speak to Amendment 2 and you can also speak to the bill. Then I'm going to give a little bit more latitude and let Bernadette speak to the amendment. Then we'll wrap it up with Elaine Williamson, who hasn't testified before, and then I'm going to close public testimony. So you have 3 minutes or less. Michael, go ahead. State your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Michael Kernow, and I'm speaking on my own behalf. I am an independent accountant. I am a member of Asia and a past president, but I come down here on my own behalf today. Amendment number one took care of one of the things I came to talk about. And I also came to request the negotiating regulation process. Listen to the discussion here. I've heard a lot that this bill only affects CPAs. What I fear is on the regulatory process, you know, they changed the definition of a test to include compilations. That does affect me because I do a compilation occasionally. So I feel the bill definitely covers independent accountants, not just CPAs. The regulatory process, negotiated process, makes me feel a lot more comfortable that it's not going to slip through on us. I like the rest of the bill, and I hope the bill passes. I've had this model accountancy law, uniform accountancy law. Been in business for 21 years, hanging over my head the whole time. It's time to put it to rest. Let's pass this bill so we're substantially equivalent. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Any questions for Mr. Kernow? Seeing, hearing none, we'll go next to Representative Kahn.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Michael?
Yeah, Mike Kernow.
Mike, I'm going to ask you the same question as I asked Ms. James, and that is, how would you define a person professing special competence in accounting, and would you put yourself in that category?
No, I don't put myself in that category. That's a CPA. They've gotten a state license. I have a federal license. I'm an EA. I concentrate on taxes. Occasionally, I have to do a loan application for a bank for a small customer, a small business. I don't hold myself out as having special competency. That would be against the law. That's what a CPA is. I am a member of NSA. I do have ACAT credentials. I do feel I'm qualified, but I don't go out there and say I hold special credentials or anything. I don't feel it's really has ever affected my business or needed. I'm a tax specialist, and that's what people come to me for.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, seeing no other questions. Thank you, Michael. We'll next go to Bernadette in Fairbanks. If you want to respond to Amendment Number 2, your support or not of it, and the bill kind of in wrap-up, and then we'll finish with Elaine Williamson. Bernadette, are you online in Fairbanks? Okay, I'm not sure if there's technical difficulty. We'll move on in case she is on, and we'll get her last. Elaine Williamson, can you hear me in Fairbanks?
Can you hear us now?
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay, sorry, okay. We had the wrong button pressed.
Okay, go ahead. Bernadette first and then Elaine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bernadette Coffey of Fairbanks, Alaska, and I've been Alaska resident 34 years, and I'm registered to vote in District 8. I'm the vice president of the Alaska Society of Independent Accountants, also known as Asia. And on behalf of Asia, I'd like to advise you that we endorse Amendment Number 1 to SSHB 274. We also do support and endorse Amendment Number 2. And we appreciate the work of the committee and Representative Walker for making this possible, and we believe that this will allow us to continue doing business in a lawful and as usual manner. Thank you very much for your time, and I am available if you have any more questions.
Okay, she is the Asia rep, or one of them. Any questions for her while we have this amendment number two before us? No? Okay. Thank you, Bernadette. We'll wrap up with Elaine Williamson.
Good afternoon. My name is Elaine Williamson, and I'm a CPA in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I've recently been appointed as a member of the State Board of Public Accountancy. I have been practicing as a CPA for over 10 years. I just wanted to testify that I personally am in support of this bill and its amendments. Amending and adding to the state statutes for conformity to the Uniform Accountancy Act will benefit both the profession and the State Board of Accountancy. Reciprocity is one example of how this bill will be advantageous. The UAA is a move towards allowing CPAs to practice in multiple jurisdictions without having to conform to multiple laws and requirements. This act will also give flexibility to the State Board of Accountancy to amend regulations as the national organizations change with the UAA. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Any other questions? Sure. Representative Guttenberg? And then
thank you. And thank you, Elaine, and congratulations on your appointment to the board.
Thank you.
Did I hear you voice your support for this amendment number two?
I'm in support of the bill and the amendment.
Both amendments.
Okay, there's
both amendments.
Both, okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Williamson, you said you were a CPA?
Yes, I am.
Would you classify yourself as a person licensed with special competency in accounting?
Yes.
Thank you.
A little reluctant.
Okay, any other questions? Good. Any other folks wishing to testify in or out of the committee? Seeing, hearing none, then we'll close public testimony in case someone has a question for Representative James since she's in the audience. Representative Hawker, if you want to wrap up, any thoughts? After this brief, exciting debate.
Briefly, Mr. Chairman, I would like for the record to acknowledge I don't believe the lady that was a CPA that recently spoke understood the question being directed to her.
Okay, we can reopen that. Elaine, do you understand there's an amendment number two that has been, I realize Bernadette's probably staring at you right now, that Asia wants, and you're a CPA, so we were perplexed, not that CPAs would be against non-CPAs, but this is... looks like it's really focusing on CPAs and the structure of oversight for them. So we raised an eyebrow just when you said you don't care about Amendment 2. I think you either said that or you said you support it. Can you tell us why you think that's relevant to the bill versus not? Because the sponsor, Representative Hawker, said he doesn't think it's necessary.
My position is that I am support of the bill and any move towards moving this forward so that we can have a bill that the UUA conformity. And so I am more in support of getting the SB 274 passed.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
You need to run for office.
No.
Okay. No, that does. I understand. Your point is that however it moves on, you support it.
And exactly. And I believe... if I can speak, I better just leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll close public testimony. Representative Hawker can wrap up on Amendment 2 before we vote for it, unless Representative Lynn, based on Representative Hawker's statements, says he's going to withdraw, because noting that Representative James says thinks it probably isn't necessary but is happy to have it or not.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, I really thank Representative James for being here. Really, the dialogue that Rep. James had with Representative Roekberg were that encapsulated the entire subject, and I think there was that's a bit of public discussion that ought to somewhere go in the record books for clarity. And again, just quick points: Representative James did recognize that Alaska, we do have some of the loosest regulations of our accounting industry of any state in the nation. We are maintaining that line. Representative Roekberg pointed out the issue of negotiated rulemaking. Is it appropriate for why just the accountants in this case? Should it be for other occupations? Is it something we want to go into here? With all respect, the facts, the discussion, the debate is before the committee, and I believe it is the opportunity for you folks to make up your the collective decision, and we certainly whichever way you end up voting and supporting this, we'll take the bill forward and really appreciate the indulgence you've given us on this one.
Okay, and last question. So do you believe it's not necessarily to pass Amendment 2?
It is the sponsor's position that the Amendment Number 2 is unnecessary.
Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to agree with the sponsor of the bill. I don't think it's necessary. And based on testimony from Representative James, she also acknowledged that it's probably not necessary, and I'm sure if there's an error in her ways, she'll run for public office and change it in the future. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be opposing the amendment.
Okay. Representative Lynn, do you want to last wrap up?
Yes, I think this whole discussion debate about a lot more clarity of this to me. It is an important bill. We do need to protect votes, but I've attained the age that I have by being a little bit cautious, and so I would like to err on the side of caution with this amendment. I don't see where it does any harm. So I'd like to maintain the amendment and take a vote on it, and I will be happy either way it comes out.
Okay, and before we get to the vote, Representative Crawford on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with what Representative Roteberg said earlier, you know, that this just gives the independent accountants a seat at the table and a little more comfort and knowing what's coming and what regulations might be reached. And I think that it won't do any harm and might give a little more sunshine to what comes in the future. So I would be in favor of the amendment.
Okay. Representative Roper?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, as I said, I don't think it's necessary, and it would actually only give negotiated rulemaking for one item a testing function. So I think that's, if they have the authority to do it the other way, you know, this only is one specific area, so I don't think it's appropriate. I just want to go on the record that I am trying not to make a face at Representative James, and there's a long story behind that. Thank you.
Okay, you can ask me later before we vote. Okay, if the clerk could, however you want to read the names, for Amendment 2.
Representative Lynn?
Yes.
Representative Ledoux?
No.
Representative Cott?
No.
Representative Gutenberg?
Yes.
Representative Crawford?
Yes.
Representative Roberg?
No.
Chairman Anderson?
No. With respect, being the tiebreaker. Fails 4-3?
Yes. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Thanks. She couldn't believe it. She was mesmerized. Okay, so the amendment fails, and I think we all respect the maker of the amendment's intent there, but it fails. So we go back to your bill as amended with amendment number one.
Record,
no, that's good.
Mr. Chairman, you ready for a motion?
Yeah, I am.
That we move sponsor substitute for House Bill number 274 out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and fiscal.
Hearing no objections, so moved. Thank you, Representative Hawker, diligent staff, audience members who've suffered through this for two meetings. Representative Elkins, you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee.
Get Hawker out of there.
Get out of here.
Get out.
I promise never to be back for this year.
We'll hold you to it.
Are you sure?
And we've never been known to rescind our action.
We'll do that as soon as the sponsor leaves the room.
So, do you have any ideas and I can tell my story?
Really?
Yeah. Move him at ease, please.
Can we, well, Elkins is raising his eyes, going, right when I sit down here?
No, okay, you guys, story.
Can we have a quick at ease?
Quick at ease.
House Labor and Commerce reconvenes after that 1 minute recess for Representative Roper. Representative Elkins.
Thank you, welcome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're bringing forward HB 331 today. And we'll start out with, you have an amendment to change the title. Representative Crawford pointed out a weakness in the title, and we concur with that. So we'd like to start out by amending the title.
Okay, Representative, do we have a CS or a different version, or just you want an amendment?
Just the amendment that was passed out.
Okay. So Representative Crawford, do you want to move amendment number one?
I would.
And just, I won't even object for discussion. Just go ahead and explain what it is, and then.
Well, it just tightens the title up and makes it specific to members of the armed forces. And you know, I think that this is a very good bill. I just wanted to make sure that you know. The title was specific to what the bill wanted.
Any objections? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to object.
Raises
just for the purpose of discussion, because of the way the title reads, and I don't know. I don't know if there's another amendment coming or anything, but there could be an opportunity to amend this further in the other body to make it just to 19-year-olds or 20-year-olds if your intent is to get. To reach down to 18, maybe we ought to put 18 to 21.
Mr. Chairman,
17.
I got 17 here. I don't know if that's an amendment coming or I missed some.
Representative Elkins.
I think that's true. I find it real hard that some of the senators on the other side would allow that to happen, because we have a number of 17-year-olds serving today, and I don't know if any of you ever traveled during the Vietnam War, and I remember I was traveling. Between posts, and I wanted to watch an Ingemar Johansson fight, and I couldn't find the USO club, and I couldn't get into a bar, so I had to stand outside of a TV store and watch. I couldn't hear it, but I could see it. So when the thought come up about the boys fighting in Iraq, we thought that this bill would be good because it only allows them to go in patriotic license clubs. It doesn't allow them to drink alcohol, but they could play pool and have company and. You know, and especially in communities where there's not a USO club, I think it serves a good purpose.
Representative Lynn, question for the sponsor.
What if we had if you have a military ID card of any age that you can go into any place? That would cover the 17-year-old and everybody else who has a military ID card. Then if we reach down to 17.
I'm going to defer to Jim here. He did most of the research for me on this bill. And
Mr. Chairman, we're debating an amendment.
The title, right.
Title amendment.
Well, okay, Representative Cott, I was writing a note. I'm sorry. No, there's a question. There's clarification. So do you want to respond to Representative Cott's question or something regarding the amendment? Just so we're germane in terms of the...
Well, we're still talking about tightening up the title. And
yep. Amendment number one by Representative Crawford. Objection by Representative Cott.
Mr. Chairman, we could always amend it if we wanted to later after the debate.
On the bill itself?
Whatever you want to do.
I think we could probably wrap this up. He's giving you the look.
No, I'm giving you the look.
Mr. Chairman,
I thought that meant you meant more wanted more candy.
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Lynn makes a good point. I think the cleanest way to do that is an act relating to access by persons who possess a valid active duty military or armed forces card, which covers.
Yeah, take the egg out.
I don't know if there may be. I don't know if there'd be a 16-year-old out there or not.
Excuse me.
Representative Crawford, in response to Representative Cott.
So the body of the bill says 18, 19, or 20 years of age. So
that'd be a conforming amendment. In fact, we probably ought to address the body of the bill and conform it to the title.
Yeah, or we should make it conceptual too, frankly, and then they can work on it.
I would have no problem with conceptual.
Why don't you withdraw the amendment?
Okay. I never offered it.
Did anybody offer it?
Representative Crawford.
I offered the original title amendment.
Why don't we withdraw it, and then we can fix or do whatever we're going to do, and then we can reconform it. Then.
Okay.
Okay, I withdraw my amendment.
Representative Crawford withdraws the amendment with the understanding we're going to try to tweak this in the debate and dialogue. Okay, so back to the sponsor. Who wanted the amendment, who knows it's been withdrawn.
I'm going to let Jim
tell us about the bill.
The bill.
I'm going to let Jim carry it from here.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim Van Horn, for the record. I'm the staff of Representative Jim Elkins. Before you today is House Bill 331. This is a single-page bill that amends Alaska Statute 0411-110G by authorizing access by persons under 21 years of age who possess a valid military active ID card to a club's licensed premises without specific authorization of the ABC board in certain circumstances. Under present state law, persons under the age of 21 cannot be on the premises of a license to sell alcoholic beverages unless a parent or legal guardian accompanies them. At the same time, it is recognized that the federal government is a legal guardian of those active duty personnel under the age of 21 for whatever reasons. All active duty personnel are eligible for membership in veterans organizations, including those under the age of 21. Current law causes the dilemma for the underage person. Here they are, eligible to join an organization, but unable to go to the meetings because they are underage, can't get into the post. This legislation will in no way allow the consumption of alcoholic beverages by persons under the age of 21 in licensed clubs. It will allow active duty people under 21 to avail themselves of the club's amenities, such as pool tables, TV, lounge, and etc. And I'm available for any questions the committee might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the question to the sponsor. I'll give it to Representative Ruckberg.
Representative Ruckberg.
No.
Mr. Chairman, I guess for the sponsor, what is the current description on utilization of various clubs on the military installations, like the NCO club, the Airmen's club, the Officers club, for those that are under, who possess, or joint club, or whatever it might be these days? That's a valid armed forces club.
Through the chair to you, Representative Cott. I believe they can go to the clubs, but they can't consume alcoholic beverages. Having not been on active duty since 1977, I'm not too sure on that. But they do. The military clubs, all services, have really tightened up the consumption of alcohol by active duty personnel, and they watch them very closely. They used to be pretty wild in the old days. I can attest to that fact. But as it is today, I think they can go to the club, but they can't avail themselves of the alcoholic beverages.
So this is Chairman Anderson. So it's your understanding and commitment by the VFW and AMVET groups and any other organization that this would apply to, that 18, 19, and 20-year-olds won't be drinking. They can come in, they can eat, they can participate in activities as long as they're not illegal activities, things like gambling or stuff like that, and then they can't drink. Because that would be, I could see the one fear through the legislative cycle. Everyone's supportive of veterans and military and hooray, patriotic, but it's like, wait a minute, what if an 18-year-old says, this is the one opportunity I can booze at?
Yeah.
Okay. The club, which, Mr. Chairman, the club would have the same responsibility they would have serving any minor. And the clubs wouldn't take, this doesn't grant them the authority to do that, and they would have the same liability if they did.
So it's no different than like going to an Applebee's. An 18-year-old can go to an Applebee's restaurant or a TGIF, and they're not allowed to drink,
right.
But they can eat and they can participate.
In any restaurant.
Okay, sure. Any other questions, Representative Roper?
Oh, so I misunderstood that. So you're not allowing anybody under 21 years of age, even though they're actively military, to be able to drink?
No.
They can't drink. They can just be in the club.
Just be in there.
I misunderstood, too.
I didn't know. Yeah, really.
Yeah, I was.
Well, why do that? Jesus. That sucks.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, really. Well, that'd be shot at. We still can't buy a 3-2 beer, you know. That's awful.
Thanks for your support in the war. Sorry for your injury. Give me back the beer, kid.
Yeah.
Give him a burger and some fries.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question. I am kind of a little concerned about what a patriotic organization license as a club is. I mean, that's pretty broad. I mean, I don't know. It's like saying the Moose Club is not patriotic. I mean, but that's not what you're getting at, I don't think.
That's
right.
Yeah.
I mean,
through the chair to you, Representative Roberg. I have the statute 411.110 defines club license. A club license may only be issued to a club, fraternal organization, patriotic organization, or social organization that has been chartered by the state or national organization for a period of two consecutive years, et cetera, et cetera. This is right out of the current statutes. And
they define it?
They define any veterans organization as a patriotic organization.
Well, that's already in Title IV?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
The Elks is a fraternal organization, as the Moose is, and so forth.
Right.
Representative Ledoux.
While they define veterans organizations as patriotic organizations, does the converse apply that only veterans organizations are considered patriotic organizations, or is there perhaps a broader definition of patriotic organization?
Title IV is pretty specific. It says
Pardon me?
Patriotic. Title IV says patriotic organization.
Right, but I guess I'm just trying to get at this, whether there's any more specific meaning of patriotic organizations, whether it could include other things other than veterans organizations. In other words, you say that veterans organizations are included in the definition or meet the definition of patriotic organization, but it doesn't necessarily follow that only veterans organizations are patriotic organizations. That's just what I'm questioning or getting at.
Through the chair to you, Representative Ledoux. For the purposes of licensing as a club, it is a patriotic organization. By no means is the Elks Club not a patriotic organization. They came out with Flag Day, but they are a fraternal organization. For purposes of licensing as a club for the state of Alaska under
Only
Title IV.
Only veterans organizations are considered patriotic.
Patriotic. That's just a term they've used through the years to describe their various organizations.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Representative Cotton, I don't think, unless there's substantive debate, I think we can move on in the spirit of Representative Crawford was trying to do, which was tighten and amalgamate our the ages and the fact that it's for veterans. Representative Cott, I think, has a good idea. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to offer Amendment Number 1 to page 1, line 7, line 11, which would delete, I got pencil, pen, 17, 18, 19, blah, 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 up through the word and. So it would read, present if the person possesses a valid active duty military or armed forces identification card, et cetera, et cetera. So delete that section, and there would be a conforming title amendment, which then would read an act relating to access by persons possessing a valid active duty military or armed forces identification card issued by blah, blah, blah.
How about this?
Correct. To premises licensed to sell.
Okay, I'll object for discussion purposes. Correct. Representative Lynn and the sponsor.
When I was in the military, I was married at age 20. My wife was 19.
Cradle robber.
Grave robber, actually. under this scenario, I could go into the club now, but my wife could not, even though she has a military dependent card.
Yeah.
So he gets a night out with the boys, but Mama stays home.
Darn right.
Are we overthinking? Yeah, darn right.
I'm surprised. Representative, bring that up.
Well, as the maker of the amendment, Representative Cott, are we overthinking this too much, or is there a way we can broaden? Your point is you don't want to reference ages, right? I mean, because there's no need to.
Oh, Pete's got a good amendment.
I'm deleting the age group because I think it captures what the intent of the sponsor is. Now, if he wants to expand this to include military spouses who may be underage, as well, and they're
valid card.
I mean, in most cases, and I don't know the particular situation that brought this bill to being, but I think I got a good idea of what it was. But in those cases, in which you find a spouse present, a ship's pawn in, that spouse is probably married to the other spouse, and they're both in there anyways, and they both have an active duty military ID card. I mean.
I agree. I'm going to interject by just making this quick that I think that a valid ID card represents a son, a daughter, a spouse, and we don't need to define it any further.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I agree. In relation to the title, though, I was thinking that, or we were thinking, an act relating to access by military personnel under 21 years of age to a patriotic organized license to sell alcohol beverage as a club. It just adds the military personnel, and then in the bill itself, drop those. Mr. Representative Cott's idea, the age classification.
So you'd maintain page 1, that's only page 1, line 11, you'd take off, quote, is 18, 19, or 20 years of age, and that would be deleted. So it would read on page 10, are present if the person possesses. That changes. You concur with, but you want to change the title. And can you reread that?
Mr. Chairman, I think make it simple. Why don't you just send with the drafters, let them do a conforming title amendment? Because I think if you're including the age group in the title, you should have it.
Is that okay if we do that?
Make just two amendments.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Just like two amendments.
Why don't you retract? Why don't you amend your amendment to state what you just page 1, line 11, that deletion.
You're making this too complex.
No, that deletion.
Yeah, that deletion.
The clerk understands, I think, that deletion, taking out those, and then ask the legal services conform the title.
Okay.
And if there's a problem, we'll change on the next committee, but I don't foresee that. Do you concur with that? Is there any objection to that? Okay, so Amendment 1 passes with the notation that legal services will conform the title as per our discussion, and maybe my staff will talk to them. Josh will talk to them. Okay, is there any other amendment or comment? Representative Rookberg.
Well, if you're underage and have a combat infantryman's badge, you get to drink Jägermeister and 3-2 beer or something? No.
Okay.
I ain't going there, but.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I don't have a question. I think we're about ready to move this bill.
Yep. And are you ready?
I'd like to move the bill, but I'd just like to interject here a little bit of an editorial that I strongly support this bill. And I agree with Representative Roberts, kind of stole my thunder about the if he can be shot at. Because I believe when a man or a woman, a member of the armed forces, and they're subject to being shot at or killed in combat, that's not the definition of a child. That's the definition of an adult. And to my way of thinking, if you on active military service, you should have the rights and privileges of any other adult out there to drink, to smoke, to go to certain kind of dances. I may not approve of these things, but nonetheless, these people are far from de facto adults, and they ought to be treated as such. I strongly support the bill. If anything, it doesn't go far enough, that I'd like to open it way up. And treat military armed forces people on active duty as adults with the same privileges, good or bad, that the rest of us have.
Okay.
Thank you,
does anyone else want to speak in the spirit of the bill? And I will give the latitude for you to stand, and Heather, Mike, and Josh to hum the Star Spangled Banner while you speak.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with Representative Lim, but with the federal restrictions that we currently have governing these individuals, I think it'd be very tough for us to do it independent of them making change.
You had someone
so, Representative Lynn, when you run for Congress, that'd be one of the first bills.
Got it. It'd be on the top of my flyer.
Okay, you know what? I've been remiss in doing. There's some folks that want to testify, and I was so eager to pass the bill out because we were so eager to support it.
Don't love it to death.
Briefly, why don't we go to those folks, and for those of you that support it, understand that please don't take up too much time unless you have a change you want to have made because we're about to pass the bill out. We'll go first to Terry Clark. No, she doesn't want to testify. Doug Griffin with the ABC Board. Doug?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, I'm going to keep I will keep my comments very brief. I've been around long enough to see that this train's about ready to leave the station. So, my only comments is I certainly understand this, and we here at the ABC Board have to deal with this issue all of the time about underage military personnel. And I guess just for the record, we basically do consider American Legion posts and perhaps auxiliary posts, even though I don't think we have those in Alaska. And veterans of foreign wars would meet our definition here at the ABC Board of patriotic organizations that qualify for club liquor licenses. And I wanted to listen in on the discussion just so I could make sure I understood the intent of the sponsor and the co-sponsor. And that's all been very enlightening to me as someone who, if this becomes law, will have to regulate it and put it into play. So I just have the concerns, but you touched on it yourself, Mr. Chairman, that we do have provisions that allow underage persons to go into places that serve alcohol for purposes of dining, and it would appear that this would be something along the same lines. I guess the only concerns I have, and I'd say they're pretty minimal, in comparison to the kinds of comments that and beliefs and that are held by Representative Lynn, because I share some of those same feelings, is that this does have the potential of putting bartenders in these patriotic organizations in very difficult situations, because once they're in there, underage people certainly have the opportunity to be served, and frankly, As a type of license, it's a very challenging for the ABC Board to regulate clubs. But to me, this is a policy call, and I don't really have strong feelings about it. I don't really want to rain on the parade here, but I just wanted to get on the record that these are the concerns that I have about the bartender being in a difficult situation of having an underage person and having maybe feeling the same way that Representative Lynn feels. But I think Representative Cott has also hit the nail on the head. We can't really roll back the drinking age and make exceptions here, or we're going to run afoul of the federal mandate. So I really don't have any strong feelings. I'm speaking only for myself. The ABC board as a board has not taken this up or taken a position on this. But those are my comments. I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Thanks, Doug. Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doug, I just want to let you know that there is a letter of support endorsing this proposal by the veterans organizations. And I agree with you. With those veterans organizations, they stand to lose the same as any other establishment that sells alcohol to an underage person. So they're going to have to be cognizant and aware and still do their diligence in checking various identification cards. So I agree with you in that respect.
Great. Representative Roepberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doug, what is the current rule or enforcement on military basis? Can underage, under 21 military active duty people on a military base drink alcohol or not? How do you handle that?
Representative Roepberg, through the chair, we don't regulate those activities, the right. Selling of alcohol or the officers' clubs on federal installations. We just don't have jurisdiction there as a state regulatory body. So I don't have firsthand knowledge, but frankly, from what I hear and understand, it's really kind of comes down to the base commander. You know, as the military goes, those guys are next to God in terms of, I guess, deciding how they want to run their base. And so I think it may vary from Air Force base to Army base and from one Army base to the other. Wainwright may do something differently up in Fairbanks area and Fort Richardson and Elmendorf may do something differently down here. So I don't know if there really is a hard and fast rule on that. I think generally the policy is to not serve persons under 21. But I just hear things through the grapevine. I have not gotten anything out of the mouth of a commanding officer in one of these bases. But my understanding is that in some cases that may be relaxed. But it's really on a case by case basis. I don't think there is any really hard and fast rule statewide with regard to the way the military installations address this.
Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment on what. Doug said, I back a few number of years ago, Senator Ray was the head of the ABC board, and he got into a disagreement with the commander of Elmendorf Air Force Base and about selling liquor to military people or minors. And the general told him where to go. He said, fine, but you couldn't get on or off the base without having your car searched. It was just a short period of time. And they closed, you couldn't go on base as a military personnel and buy liquor and take it off the base. So, to my knowledge, they conform with state law.
Representative Elkins, I would submit that you might want to supplement your packet in the future by talking to the four major bases or maybe the Alaska Command, someone in charge to just articulate where under 21 drinks are sold. My suspicion is none. No bases have under 21, but it would be nice to have on the record. Representative Cott may have a different opinion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm almost 100% sure that there's no military establishments in this state that allows their personnel to acquire alcohol under the age of 21 on any base. If you just put yourself in the position of the military, they allow this 18-year-old to purchase alcohol at the club, then take off and drive off base. Gets in an accident. Now, guess what that does to the whole reputation. So I'm almost positive. I know in 1991 that we weren't allowed to purchase an Elmendorf under the age of 21. Mm-hmm. So what they have done, however, in the various, I'm not sure how it is today, but they have regulated the times of which those that were under 21 could stay in a club. like 11 o'clock at night or midnight, or wherever the case might be, they ask people that we're under the age that you have to leave.
Okay.
That was just an installation policy. I don't think that's a DOD policy.
Okay, let's wrap it up here. If you have a comment, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I might add that this bill was brought about by an incident that I think one of the persons from Seward, I think, is going to testify. It was a visiting ship, Coast Guard vessel, came in off a fisheries patrol in Seward, and they had some underage people, and they, under current state law, they couldn't invite them in because they were there for 3 or 4 days. And we have a situation in Ketchikan where we have the Walden Point Road Project, which is on a net island, and they have active duty and reserve personnel coming in for 2 weeks to work on this road. It's called the Joint Task Force, and they've been doing this for about 5 years. This is training for combat engineers, CBs, and they're all different types, all different services are there. But they have a boat that runs back and forth, and they're staying out there, the underage folks, in the rain, waiting for the boat, right by the VFW club. On Sunday mornings, they serve a killer breakfast for $7. And there's nothing wrong with these people coming in out of the weather, waiting for their ride back over to their station to start their work the next day, to have a nice hot breakfast and some camaraderie with their other folks while they're waiting for the. This is our thinking on this thing, and it makes common sense. Anyway, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Okay,
Mr. Chairman, it can't be too early because there is laws on which times of the day you can distribute liquor as well.
Mr. Chair, can I move this bill?
Yeah. Well, let's just really briefly have Dean Smith or Dean Hill and Richard Smith, folks. I hope you know that we're about ready to pass the bill, unless you have something compelling. If you could make it brief, go ahead. Dean Hill first from Sterling, and then Richard Smith from Seward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It seems to me like you're on the right track, so I don't have a lot to add to what Mr. Van Horn had to say. I would defend the bartenders in the American Legion, and that's who I'm here to speak about today, or on whose behalf I'm speaking, as well as the VFW and DAV. Those three organizations jointly agreed on this change recently, and they are going to be down there next Monday and visit several of you. You'll hear that support from them. Our bartenders, at least in the Legion and the VFW post that I've been in, and I belong to both organizations, and I've served in the military for 25 years, are very well trained. They have to check ID cards and particularly membership cards, because by law it's against the law to sell a drink to a non-member. So this bill change is going to allow us to get in there, some of the people off the Coast Guard cutters and the Navy ships, and have our people sponsor them in, and our people will buy the drinks for those that are of age. The bartenders will check the age requirements on those. We cannot afford to lose a liquor license in a post store. Trust me, my experience is 15 years at the state headquarters, that post will go down the drain if that were to happen. So they're very conscientious about that type of thing. And again, I'd like to thank Mr. Elkins, Representative Elkins, for submitting this bill, and Jim Van Horn for his help. And all we want to do is, if a ship sails into Seward or any other port town, or a group comes back in the interior, and we want to have them over to our post to throw them a party with people who have the same background that they do, who serve their country, and we feel they would feel more comfortable in that surrounding, that we'd be allowed to do it on a moment's notice. And this bill will allow us to do that. Thank you. Any questions, I'm available.
Don't see any questions. Thank you for your patience to testify. Richard Smith, you're the final testifier today.
My name is Richard Smith. I'm a post American Legion post commander here in Seward, Alaska. And I totally am very pleased of the way this is starting to come out, and looks to me like you're going to pass it. So I want to just kind of, you know, let you know that down here we have a ship lift that brings in Coast Guard ships to be repaired, and they may spend a month or 2 months here. And it's just real hard for us to invite part of the ship personnel to the American Legion, and then we can't have the other people that are active duty military come to participate in that. So that's at the post level, that's exactly where this all started, and I think this will be a very good thing.
Thank you for your brevity. Appreciate your support. Any other testifiers? Folks in the audience, seeing, hearing none, I'll close public testimony. Representative Lynn.
Mr. Chairman, it's my pleasure to move House Bill number 331-24-LS 1310-A. Was there an amendment?
As amended. Individual rec.
And recommendation, there's no fiscal note, is there?
2-0 fiscal notes?
2-0 fiscal notes.
Okay, any objection? Hearing, seeing none, unanimously moved out of committee with a salute to Elkins.
Thank you.
Van Horn.
Just in closing, I wanted to say one thing about the underage. I had 35 years in the liquor business, and I was in the business when 19-year-olds could drink, and we're a lot better off today.
It's a good closure. Thank you, Jim. Okay, then, that is the last committee.
I couldn't abide by the legislature now.
Agenda item, so we will adjourn at 4:48.